It's a Big League Wednesday. Adam Jones will be with us live from, well, I won't spoil it. You know, where in the world is Adam Jones? Coming up at the bottom of the hour at 7:35. Before that, don't do this. We got Take on Woods later this segment. If you want to get in early, feel free to give us a call, 833-288-0973. I did have some spiciness in the ninth inning. Just a little bit. And as you teased, Woods, of course, it involved the Padres, Jurickson, Profar.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jurickson is, I think partly there's some legitimate disrespect that has been thrown Jurickson's way from Will Smith early in the season to just the fact that, you know, he surprised people being an 11-year veteran of the big leagues and doing what he's doing. There are some doubters that didn't see this coming from Jurickson Profar. And he is, he's demanding the respect that he has earned this year.
He's not really demanding anything. He's really letting, in my opinion, like with the whole Will Smith irrelevant thing, what did he say after? Okay. And went out and hit a bomb. He has really let his bat do the talking.
As he did against the Washington Nationals.
When he stepped to the plate and negative war catcher, Keibert Ruiz, poked him in the chest. What did Jurickson do? Did he fight back? Did he put his hands on him? No, he didn't. He let his bat do the talking.
Which is why, if the pattern holds, expect Jurickson Profar to probably hit a home run today.
I did not understand this, and I did make it to that last night.
So,
and it just they glossed over it a little bit.
They did a little bit. So as far as I can tell, so Jurickson came up in the ninth against Mariners reliever Gregory Santos.
It was his first appearance for the M's. They acquired him, and he had been on the IL.
He threw a couple of pitches inside at Jurickson. Jurickson reacted as Jurickson does. It wasn't like charging the mound,
no.
But it was like, you know, he was a little bothered by it. It's not a close game in the end. It's like, hey, let's be a little careful here. It's an 8-3 game in the ninth inning. And then Jurickson hit a ground ball to the first baseman, which required Santos to go over and cover first base. When Santos got there first, wasn't a difficult play. He touched first base, and then instead of doing what most pitchers do and then bouncing back in to get out of the way of the runner, Santos very purposely stayed right on the first base line.
Had him by a mile.
To create a run-in with Jurickson Profar. Jurickson, of course, ran through the base, which caused the two of them to just basically bump elbows as they went by. And I saw some people go, there's Jurickson. It wasn't on Jurickson. It was on Santos not getting out of the way, not being where he should. And to the credit of the umpire, and I think it was the crew chief.
Was it Eddings?
Eddings. He immediately went to Santos and goes, don't do that. He went right
yeah,
up and
he
went.
Did.
He
chewed
went
him
pointed
out.
And he chewed him out on the field. A player on the field. The game's not over yet.
Yeah.
And he said, "Don't do that. I see what you're doing. You're looking for a confrontation.
You're looking for a fight here.
You went and tried to start something, which Jurickson didn't. He did what he always does. He said, "You know what? I remember this, and I will let my bat do the talking today." But the umpire was on to him. He was like, "I see what you're doing. You're trying to show up Jurickson, or you're trying to create a run in at first base." Nothing happened other than the umpire scolding pitcher Gregory Santos of the Seattle Mariners.
Yes.
Jurickson will remember that today.
No question about it. Yeah, it was pretty, a couple pitches inside. Jurickson reacts, does his thing, drops the bat at one point. You know, he has fun playing the game of baseball always. And I think the same can be said for Gregory Santos. I think these guys are competitors and they're competing and having fun. But, it was fairly unnecessary, last night. But listen, whatever he needs to motivate him to have a good game today, I'm all about it. You know, I'd like to go out and split this series today, Benji. Pretty important.
Yeah. Should we have faith at this point is my question.
Yeah, I think we should.
Every time the Padres have had streaks like this, you know, lose three in a row, lost four in a row, lost five. They've done these streaks. But every time they've bounced out of it.
What are they at, three now?
They're at three.
Three.
They've figured out a way to respond, usually involving Jurickson Profar or someone like that stepping up big.
I just watched everything that happened. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
That was,
That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It was nothing. Yeah. It was a nothing burger.
Nothing. Yeah. Don't say nothing burger.
That's what it was.
I know.
But Jerickson will file that away.
Yeah, yeah. I'm more talking about like Santos. Like, calm down, guy.
Yeah. Relax, yeah. Bud. This is his first game back. You know, first game back. His amped first appearance up. For the M's. He was, like I said, he was on the IL. He's back. He's fired up. All right, cool. And you go up and in. I mean, you know, people are going to give you a look.
We as fans have trouble trusting that this Padres team is different, though. Don't we?
I don't know.
Doesn't it feel like every three-game losing streak could be the beginning of the end?
Well, yeah. I mean, I said yesterday we're on the razor's edge, and we are. But
And that's what bothers Mike Schilt the most of all.
When we say they're on the razor's
edge? Well, just the fact that he knows that we all feel it. Like, this is the beginning of the end. This is it. We've been waiting all season that the other shoe's going to drop.
Man, I don't.
They're going to step off the cliff. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. This team is finally going to disappoint us the way we've always been expecting.
Well,
I think that's what bothers Mike Schilt the most, because he's going, all right, I've been here. This is my first season. Every time we have struggled, which every team does, and he's right about that when he says that,
we
have then bounced back and responded, as well as any team in baseball. So when are we going to actually believe in this team?
When it's over. Honestly, I mean, I do believe. I am a believer. I said yesterday this team deserves a shot. And I still feel that way. I feel like they deserve a shot. I feel like AJ Peller needs to go out and make moves. Again, do what you got to do, all right? But I would not like to see Leo traded. I would not like to see Salas traded. But whatever you can do with the rest of what you have and whatever financial ability you have to make it work, yes, they need to see that you believe in them like you have in years past. Because this is the team that's given forth the most effort. It's not always great. It's not always pretty. Sometimes it's crap. Like last night was crap. But I do believe in this team. I really do. I'm starting to get the feeling that I had a couple of years of like, don't worry about it. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Now, we may run out of pitching, Ben. Weird things happen in baseball. Some of the teams that we had written off for dead, like the Arizona Diamondbacks, the San Francisco Giants, they're hanging around. Some of the teams that I thought were going to come out rolling this year, like the Chicago Cubs, they've been terrible. The New York Yankees are currently the worst team in baseball. They're on one of the gnarliest streaks you have ever seen from them.
That gives me pause. If the Yankees can lose 17 of 23, then the Padres certainly can.
Sure.
If the Padres did that, that would be a 6-17 stretch. They would go from 6 games over, where they were 3 days ago, to 5 games under, and all of a sudden at the bottom of the wild card race. You can't afford a stretch like the Yankees are having right now if you're the Padres. The Yankees actually can.
They could, yeah.
They had enough in the bank that they can afford it, and they can still bounce back. Padres would have trouble bouncing back from 17 of 23 right now.
It's tough because you think about the teams that we buried, and there's so many of them. The Red Sox, I had them buried. The Twins, buried. I didn't think the Guardians were going to do much this year. Buried. I had the Astros buried, dead and buried. Rangers, like you just said, have won 5 in a row. Had them buried. There's a ton. The Mets were done. Cohen was selling everything. They're back to 500 right now. And, you know, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wacky. They're going to need to figure out a way to just be a little bit more consistent. I know it's so much easier said from my chair than it is from Mike Schilt, but he needs to understand, too, he's only as good as yesterday's game. That's it. And when he went to bed last night, he went to bed with a loss. And he's got to figure out how to get a win today so that he can go to bed tonight with a win. That's it. He just got to figure out how to win one game at a time. I know it's corny. I know it's cliche. It's the only way to live. It's really the only way this team can live moving forward. You can't really worry about what the other teams are doing. You've got to beat the teams in front of you.
We need a contestant for Take on Woods. Calling now, 833-288-0973. We're going to play in like 1 minute. I just think today's game's kind of fascinating. Because if they bounce back and they win, split the series, and you know someone has a big hit, will once again be affirmed with what we've seen with our own eyes all year. This team has heart, this team has fight, and this team is not going to back down. But I know there's a part of us as Padres fans that are going, all right, this is it. They're going to lose. It's 4 in a row. They get the Braves. And who knows? This could be a losing streak. They could be under 500 at the All-Star break. If they lose all 4, they will be a game under 500 at the All-Star break. And all the good work that they did for 3 months will be evaporated
now,
in like a week and a half. Now and I know we feel that way.
When you start the second half, where I get a little bit dicey is having seen this team go off a cliff for a few years in the second half. You know, and you know, turned it on late last year and all that. I barely paid attention at the end of the stretch last year because I just didn't think we were going to make it.
Well, if Adam Azier makes another 10 starts the rest of the year, they're in trouble.
Yeah,
they
do
need to figure that out.
Yeah, they
know that too.
They know that.
We're not begging. Please understand that Adam Azier is not good enough. They know that. They're working on it. They just don't have the solution yet.
It's also so tough because what do you do if you're AJ Preller? You can't sell the entire farm just to only get a couple of pieces that'll maybe not even get you out of the wild card round.
Maybe not. Yeah, I mean,
like if you're going to go for it, you got to really go for it.
The only thing that you can do too is you need to work on trying to find guys like you have before. You've been really good at finding guys with multiple years of control, right? The rental thing, that feels odd to me. Going out and getting a 6 month rental.
You can't trade DeVries or Salas for a rental.
No, just to get a wild card.
That maybe two games and you're done.
Bro,
that's short-sighted.
Now you get a guy, he's got 3 years left to control at a reasonable price.
Okay, we can talk about that a little bit.
But and that's doable.
Well, let's talk about that
Scoobal
a little
doable.
Bit later. Right now, let's play Take on Wood.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Taking a line at random. Caller, you're on the air. Who is this?
Jared.
Did I hear you right? Jared?
Yes, sir.
All right, you calling in for Take on Woods?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're our contestant. Good luck. If you can beat or tie Woods, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing. Get away to Las Vegas. Two nights at the Rio, dinner for two, a day bed at the Rio pool. The Rio is back. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four new sparkling pools, and a brand new food hall. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. Here are the categories you choose from. We got Rush, all about the band Rush. Oh Boy, five song titles, including the word boy or boys. And our new category, Seen and Heard, five song titles that include either the word seen or the word heard. So Rush, Oh Boy, or Seen and Heard. Jared, what would you like to play?
Well, let's go ahead and take that Rush category off the board.
Rush! All right, you're getting Rushified today with five questions all about the band Rush. You'll have 60 seconds. Answer as many as you can. You can pass. If you don't know one, we'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is the 2 second song. Pauly is going to play a Rush song. So all you need to do is give me the title, not even the artist. We know the artist to score that point, and we'll go on from there. We'll compare your score with Woods when he comes in and plays. Beat or tie him, put you into the drawing for Las Vegas. Jared, are you ready to play?
Copy that. Ready to go.
All right. Sounds like a Rush fan. Pauly, you good to go?
I'm ready.
60 seconds on the clock. Category is Rush. Jared, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Jared. Let's take on Woods. Correct. Drummer Neil Peart wrote which early Rush hit about his first trip away from home in Canada on a red eye to England?
Fly by Night.
Correct. Rush singer, lead singer Gary Weinrib performs under which stage name? Correct. Many Rush songs were influenced by the writer of which controversial author famous for novels The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged? It's not Tom Sawyer, but which 1982 late addition to the Signals album that is Rush's only top 40 charting hit in the United States?
Can you read the last question again?
It's not Tom Sawyer, but which 1982 late addition to the Signals album is Rush's only top 40 charting hit in the United States? All right, you got three. They get a little tougher at the end. You got The Spirit of Radio, Fly by Night, and Geddy Lee. Ayn Rand is the writer that inspired Rush, Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, and New World Man is the last one. All right, let's see how much Rush Woods knows. He doesn't get the category, although I doubt it's going to make much of a difference here. He'll figure this one out pretty quickly. Jared's score is locked in. Jared, stay on the line. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Jared.
That is Spirit of Radio by Rush.
Correct. Drummer Neil Peart wrote which early Rush hit about his first trip away from home in Canada on a red eye to England?
Fly by Night?
Correct. Rush lead singer Gary Weinrib performs under which stage name?
Geddy Lee.
Correct. Many Rush songs were influenced by the writer of which controversial novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged?
Oh, that is Kafka? No, it's not Kafka.
It's not Tom Sawyer, but which 1982 late addition to the Signals album that is Rush's only top 40 charting hit in the United States?
Free Will?
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Which means you got a tie. Jared? 3-3. You both missed Fountainhead the last two.
Fountainhead is, it's not Kafka. No. It's,
A little more modern than that, I think.
F word.
Short name. Woman.
Ayn Rand.
Yes.
Yeah. Ayn Rand.
Jared, congratulations. Stay on the line. Paul, let's get your information. New World Man is the only top 40.
Sid and I have gotten pretty good at a couple of Rush songs.
What do you mean, like fast-paced rock?
No, like Rush.
The band.
Like the band Rush.
I don't know them.
The Holy Triumvirate. Wait, you don't know Rush?
No.
How do you not know Rush?
You don't know Rush, the band?
Mm-mm.
Exit the Warrior, today's Tom Sawyer.
No.
All right, I'm going to hit you up with iTunes. Action. Hey, let me ask you something. Are you ready to get your world rocked?
Ready!
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Do it!
You want to get some Neil Peart all up in you?
I don't know.
Well, prepare to be Rushified!
So good.
Congratulations, Jared. You are into the drawing.
She was a bit of a nightmare in that movie. I'm going to be honest with you. She's one of my number one movie villains of all time. I can make a case. Let's do it during spring break next week.
Sounds good.
Unlikely or like
villains often, you didn't know
not
were
often
villains.
Thought of
she's
villains.
A villain. Straight up.
She's a movie villain.
How you can do that to that guy? The nicest guy on the planet. We'll talk about it.
We'll do Don't Do This next, though. Mike Gundy's pretty much
Come
a college football villain.
What are you doing?
Even if he doesn't realize it. Get to that coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Krafttaco.com. Let's get right to it. Media days are underway. Big 12 Media Day started yesterday. Mountain West Media Day is underway today. And, of course, how these work in college football is generally the head coach and a couple of players show up. All get together where the media can gather and ask questions about the upcoming season. Well, Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy made the first headlines of the year, the wrong kind of headlines at Big 12 Media Day, when he brought along with him to represent the Cowboys star running back Ollie Gordon II. Problem here is that Gordon, on June 30th, so what, about a week ago, was arrested on suspicion of DUI. Had a blood alcohol level of 0.1 above the legal limit of 0.08. But Gundy has already decided there's not going to be any suspension, no playing time missed. In fact, didn't even say you can't come to Vegas with me for the media days. You're still coming.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, it's coach's prerogative, I guess. But then things get a little bit weird when Mike Gundy is asked the question, so what's going on with Ollie here, and why is he here? And here's what Mike Gundy had to say.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08, and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life.
Oh, God.
And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light.
Oh, my God.
Because you make a lot of money to play football.
Okay, well, that's one way to go there.
Holy crap.
I mean, he's
not a hypocrite. I probably drove drunk 1,000 times.
He's not a hypocrite. I can't punish you for something that I've done 1,000 times in my life.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It's not good.
Imagine being a parent. You can't punish your child because they did something you've done 1,000 times, right? That doesn't work. Be better than me. Be better than I was.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's two or three beers, maybe four.
Maybe four.
I mean, it's a big deal here.
Holy crap, man.
Ouch.
It's a bold strategy. He did say, oh, his punishment is going to be to carry the ball 50 times in our first game.
There you go.
Quite a punishment. Which, by the way, every running back is like, yes, punish me more. I want the ball every single time. Holy cow, dude. That's an interesting one. This one, a little bit of resolution, I think, has come to light. Wander Franco has been on administrative leave, right? Former Tampa Bay Rays shortstop Wander Franco. Now, he was on administrative leave because he was charged with sexual abuse and sexual exploitation against a minor in the Dominican Republic. Now, he has been formally charged. So it was kind of hanging up in the air to see if prosecutors were going to actually charge him. Well, now they have. And he is in some hot water, Ben. He was initially accused last year. The mother of the girl, the girl was 14 years old when the alleged relationship began. She also faces a charge of sexual exploitation and money laundering. ESPN obtained a 600-page document that's got evidence, transcripts of interviews with the girl, her relatives, messages between Franco and the girl. And we saw some of them when this came out, some of the messages that I think Wander had sent this girl. And it's as bad as you can imagine. So
the bottom line here is Wander Franco is not returning anytime soon. In fact, maybe never.
Probably never.
And throwing away just what was such a promising
career
with so much talent.
Yeah, it's awful, dude. And I hope that girl, and the fact that her mother was kind of involved in it too, it's just so gross, man.
Now, I wonder what would be the decision if Mike Gundy were in charge of disciplining.
That's something I've done 1,000 times. Excuse me, sir.
Who among us?
You're going to need to see the authorities. Holy cow, man. Crazy.
All right, finally, a little doo-doo this on a Wednesday.
DD mega doo-doo.
You know I love to cheer for the local story, the local athlete in the big-time event. So I will just send some good wishes to Torrey Pines High alum Taylor Fritz, who is in the Wimbledon right now and looking for his first ever Grand Slam semifinal.
Sick.
It's the 13th seed. He is taking on the 25th seed, Lorenzo Musetti of Italy.
Oh!
And they're in the first set.
There
it is 1-1 very early, but I can kind of keep you updated.
Can you put it on in here?
On the tennis, yeah, we probably can put it on ESPN or ESPN2. But Taylor Fritz has never gotten to a semifinal before. Should be the top-ranked American man again. Tommy Paul was the other American man. He lost yesterday in the quarterfinals. So Taylor Fritz with the red, white, and blue pride trying to get to the... against Italy, yeah, trying to get to the semifinals of Wimbledon today, and he just won game three, so he's up 2-1 in the first set.
Nice. Pulling for him as well.
Don't and do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Big League Wednesday.
Got a quick shout-out, Benny. Asher, one of our tier ones. Jennifer is his mother. She said, would you shout out my son on his sixth birthday? Today's his sixth birthday. I got a six-year-old. Of course I will do it. Asher. Happy birthday to you, buddy.
As long as we're doing it now, then I will do a shout-out for my son, Graham, who is 19 years old today.
Is that right?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Graham.
Happy birthday, Asher Graham. And Graham.
Graham fascinates me. He's a bass player.
Birthday shout-outs to all of them.
Love it. Happy birthday.
All right, Big League Wednesday. Where in the world is Adam Jones? We will find out. It's got domestic appearance today for Adam Jones. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. We got a big league Wednesday and a domestic version of Where in the World is Adam Jones coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's go out and find out exactly where Adam Jones is this morning. It's been a couple of weeks. AJ, good to chat with you as always.
Hey, gentlemen, I miss you guys. Sorry for last.
It's all right. That's all right.
It's hot.
Where are you?
I'm in Maryland.
Maryland.
Yeah.
Home of crab cakes.
I see some family, see some people. I had a really good dinner last night with friends and just back here and back in the States and, here for the summer.
Now, I don't know. Oh, you're there for the summer. Okay, cool. I don't know. Are the Orioles in town right now? Are they at home? Do you watch
them?
Yeah,
they were hosting the Cubs yesterday.
Okay.
Yes, they're hosting the Cubs. It's too hot for me to go out to the game. I'd rather just relax. It's too hot, man. I'm going to watch it with some friends at the house and just be at home and just relax. I'm coming out to San Diego August 9th. We have a big event for Tony Gwynn. We're honoring the 25th year of 3,000 hits. So it's going to be really, really special.
So the Baltimore Orioles have been able to take advantage of the Yankees' struggle, a 3-game lead in the American League East. I'm surprised, Adam, that the Yankees, who look pretty solid for the first half of the season, have all of a sudden lost 17 of 23.
No.
Brian Cashman's gone down to Tampa to see what's kind of going on in person. What have you kind of seen there in following that race? What's gone wrong for the Yankees?
I mean, it's a long season. You know, Judge at the beginning of the season wasn't swinging it well. Then he's the best player in the game. You know, Soto's been maintaining. You know, Gill, the young pitcher, he has his last 4 or 5 starts. He hasn't been how he was the first 12 starts. It's a long, long season. And I just look forward to the Orioles and the Yankees playing real meaningful baseball come September. That's what it's about. You know, everybody's going to go ups and downs. The Orioles are going to have their slides. They've been able to mitigate a lot of them, but it's just part of the game. And, every team faces it.
You know, you're talking about a long season. We were really hesitant at the beginning of the year to talk about, well, it's early. Here in San Diego, I mean, AJ, and you can imagine why after the last few years. And yes, while it is early, this team did not play in the last few years with the sense of urgency that I'll give it to them. They don't do it every night, but they've done it a hell of a lot more this year, it feels, than they did last year, which has led to a much more exciting brand of baseball here in San Diego this year.
Oh, I mean, the brand of baseball is amazing. And you know what? Obviously, you know, Manny is the guy to me. When he's hot, the ship is running. But right now, to me, the MVP of the team is the rookie, Jackson Merrill. I mean, that's to me. I don't know how you feel about that. But what he's been able to do and accomplish, holding down center field, it's a big responsibility, and he's been able to man it. And again, 21, who cares about the age? You're going out there and playing. I was fortunate enough to talk to him in Korea, and I said, hey, man, it's the big leagues. The lights is on, and he was ready for it. And he's taking advantage of a great opportunity. He's got great leaders over there also, but he's taking full advantage of center field, and it seems like he is – being the leader of the defense out there. And, you know, he's, to me, the MVP of the team right now and is keeping them afloat. But, again, the ship sails when Manny is hot. And you know, he's been swinging the bat really well lately. So you just got to keep him hot.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if I'm going to do co-MVPs, I'm going to give some to Jerks and Profar, too, because
I'm in Profar also. Sorry for Profar. Yeah,
you're on his list now.
He's been amazing. And, you know, I'll ask you about this. Do you know Pro a little bit?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I've got to know him over the years, and I'm glad he's going to be his first All-Star in the place that he started his career.
It's the coolest thing, and it's a great story, and we're all super happy about it. But lately, man, I love this. He is the guy, it seems to me, other teams are like, man, I don't like him. I don't like the cut of his jib. I don't like what he's doing. I love it because it irritates them. Santos got irritated last night because Profar like looked at him. Baseball players are sensitive. We know that. Profar has really been, he's been like a little piece of sand, you know, between your toes to a lot of teams this year. It's been fun to be on that side of it, you know, the team that you root for. I bet you hate playing against those guys, though.
I mean, for me, I love it. I mean, you got to understand, he's Dutch, but they play the Latin style of the game.
Yes.
And they're going to show emotion. I mean, I've seen the Nationals get mad that he hit a walk-off, and, you know, they want to throw behind him. Like, that's, you know, come on. You want to hit him? Like, come on. It's a walk-off. Let the man celebrate. And you can't take the passion away from the Latin players. Yeah. They tried to do it in the WBC. It did not happen. The Latin players got even more hype. So you ain't going to take away the passion from the Latin players. You better join the party or don't give up the hit.
As you mentioned, Jurickson going to his first All-Star game after 11 years in the league. So I was just looking it up. I oftentimes introduce you as five-time All-Star Adam Jones. And you went to the All-Star game for the first time. I think it was your third full season when you were with the Orioles. But then you didn't go again for a few more years, and then you went 4 years in a row. Jackson Merrill's going in his first season here as a rookie. What do you learn? Kind of, is there anything that first All-Star game that you're like looking for, that you learn, that you keep your head down? Do you take it all in? How does that first All-Star game work, Adam?
Well, my first All-Star game was different. I mean, I had guys who had 10 All-Star games. I had Mariano Rivera. I'm taking ground balls with Derek Jeter. You got A-Rod. You got Poppy. You know, you go back to the 09 team, you had very few guys that were first-time All-Stars. It was myself, Edwin Jackson, I think Granderson maybe was the first or second time, but you had the vets that were still the perennial All-Stars, and it was game, like just pure game. You had to be around these guys. You got to ask these guys questions. They've been there, done that. My locker was next to Ichiro, and I'm like, again, he was my teammate briefly in Seattle, but now like I'm at the All-Star game with him. President Obama came in. You had the dogs sniffing me. I mean, like, I think it was different. It was more prestigious to me, I think, at that time, because you had guys with 10, 11 All-Star games. Legacy guys, I was fortunate enough to be at Mariano's last All-Star game, Jeter's last All-Star game. But now it's a new brand, and, you know, you have a lot of first-time guys, which I think is great. It's showing that the game is expanding, the youth is amazing, and they're deserving. So, like, I had Craig Kimbrough on my Adam Jones podcast, and I just asked him about it because could be a 10-time All-Star, and he's just so grateful for the other guys. Like, hey, man, these guys earned it. These guys earned it this year. They had a great first half. Let them enjoy that reward. And, you know, I take all five that I went to, every single one of them were very special. And, you know, it's an old adage. It never gets old. Things like that never get old. You're the best player at that moment. And, you know, go there and stick out your chest a little bit and have some fun.
Talking to our pal Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning. I can't remember if I've asked you this or not. My memory's not great, but I wanted to talk to you about the Orioles. They remain a really fascinating team. You know, sucked for many, 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 many years to try to get back to what they have now currently. They still have, more prospects, really, Adam, than they have positions on the field. And I was watching something, recently. And it was MLB Network, and, you know, it's all speculation around trade deadline. And they said, I just don't think they're going to move these guys to get, you know, maybe somebody that'll help. They think they have the guys that they need right now. I can see how it could be positive for the guys on that team already, but I could also see how it would be a negative if the team goes, no, we're good. We got what we need. What's your take on them?
Well, I mean, this is the big thing, and that's for everybody, is always pitching. One problem is for them for next year is they have three guys that have had Tommy John already, so they're out for next year. So a big thing for them is getting starting pitching. Obviously, Corbin Burns, who wouldn't want to retain him, but he's going to free agency, as he should, and see the max that he can get. That's what you work for. So the biggest thing is starting pitching, and I think that goes for every team. So I don't necessarily know what moves will be made. I don't work for the Orioles, so I'm just speculating like everybody else. The problem, I think, has presented itself where we knew they had a great minor league system, but now guys need to play. You have too many 4A guys now rather than a guy at least needs at bats, like Stowers, Kerstad, Mayo, Norby. These are guys that, you know, honestly, they need to be in the major league somewhere.
And they're blocked.
With the Orioles, it's just, with the Orioles, they just have so much talent right now in the major leagues, they're just blocked. And, again, it's a good problem to have, but as guys age and start turning 24 and 25 and 26, value just goes down.
Yeah,
I don't work for them, but I'm speculating like everybody else for everybody else's team. You know, guys are going to be moved. There's going to be trade deadline moves. There's going to be hopefully some blockbuster moves with some guys. So just know that the Orioles are in a really good situation, and it's for Elias and company, it's a great problem to have.
Talking to Adam Jones on a Big League Wednesday, and you've talked to us before about how tough it is to adjust to the big leagues, how hard the game is. And I totally believe that. And we still see rookies who struggle, but we're also seeing more rookies who seem to just jump in and are having success right away. You mentioned Jackson Merrill, all-star as a rookie. Paul Skeens on the pitching side. See this Reds prospect who just came up. What's his name? Reese Hines. Just two games, five extra base hits, two home runs. Is there something different nowadays? Are teams better at preparing these rookies for the reality of what they're about to face, or are these just some freaks that are having instant success in Major League Baseball?
It's both. I mean, I think with just evolution, we've understood what it takes. Not necessarily everything about what it takes, but you can get the routines of Major League guys with social media, post their routines and different things with YouTube. There's just so much more information than it was in the 90s. It was just part of the evolution process. And, you know, these guys are training for this. You go to these gyms, the drive lines, and these other places, and so they have tons of places also, and you major league guys hitting with high school guys, with the 12-year-olds. So, you know, these little kids with their parents, they're asking these guys questions. How do I get there? Like, so it's not as unfamiliar to them anymore. So, like, being around a major league guy or a professional athlete is not as unfamiliar like it used to be.
Yeah.
I never met a pro athlete. You had to go to the baseball game, sit outside maybe try to get an autograph. But now you just go to Starbucks. People are just, you know, with social media, just pin people, and it's weird. it's super weird. But it's just, I think I said it before, the athlete is not idolized like they used to. Like, I idolized Tony Gwynn. I idolized Ken Caminiti. I like guys like Eric Owens, the dirtball like that. You idolize guys like that. Now, it's like, you know, Soto has a bad week. He sucks. What? That's our generation, one of our generational's best players. But I think we don't idolize guys because we have so much access to the guys.
Yeah,
really good points, as always. Adam, I can't wait to see you a month from now back in San Diego. It'll be a lot of fun.
Are you coming in? We doing golf? What are we doing?
We'll do something.
What's happening?
We're golfing.
Yep.
All right.
We're golfing. I got my driver fixed. I've been working on a few things.
All right.
It ain't going to work, but I've been working.
text Paulie. We'll get us a nice course and get it all done, and lunch, and have you come in and hang, too.
You know I show up.
Yeah, we'll put everybody to work here on Bennett Woods. That's what we do best.
Adam Jones, live from Baltimore, Maryland, where it is hot, hot, hot. We'll talk to him again next Wednesday and get to see him in person next month. I think he makes a really good point. You know, it wasn't that long ago when you came up as a rookie.
Maybe.
In baseball, whenever. You were pretty much thrown into the deep end with no preparation whatsoever. You couldn't replicate the big league lifestyle in AAA, AA. You just had to do it.
You just had to learn it.
You just had to learn it. But nowadays, teams have become so much better at preparing their guys for the routines, and it's almost they show up and they already kind of know what they're supposed to do. Yeah, you're not facing all-star pitching every day, but you can duplicate it in batting cages now and see more of it, see more velocity training. And it's not just baseball, by the way. Have you noticed in sports like golf, where guys are coming straight from college?
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, like winning on the PGA Tour. It used to be guys would come on the PGA Tour. It'd be 3 or 4 years before he really could compete, win regularly, because you had to learn the grind. You had to learn about it. But athletes are so much better prepared at a younger age now than they ever were because of more information, advanced training techniques, better practice facilities, better technology. And it carries over into all kinds of sports.
Mental training.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, back then, if you had said in the big league, I bet you a lot of people in the big leagues in 1986 that had some mental issues that they probably needed to work through, and nobody would listen to him. You know what I mean? Nor could they feel that they could tell somebody.
To bring it back to Merrill, like, he's got the right makeup.
Yeah.
He's obviously got the ability and the physical skills. Like, I think we made it a promo a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week. Ben was like, he's perfect. Yeah. It's like he was created in a lab.
Yeah.
He's exactly what you want.
Yep.
And it's not by accident either. You know, I'm sure some of it is just inherent in terms of, like, his personality and who he is. But he's been working on this. You know, he's got a goal. He wanted to be a big league player. And, you know, he's put the right work into it to be not only physically ready, but also mentally and emotionally ready to be a big leaguer.
I was thinking about it. He looks so comfortable. He doesn't look like a rookie. Okay. He looks so comfortable. Do you think that has anything to do with him knowing, he would never admit it publicly, but knowing that, like, he was thrust into that position because we had nobody else. There wasn't any competition really for him in center field. Did that make it easier on him? Did that make
it
harder?
Well, no, because there was at the time, though, when he got thrust into center field.
Zokar or
Eddie. But, like, there were guys behind him, right?
They were talking about trading like, Duran and other players.
Yes, it was Duran. It was the kid from Milwaukee. Sal Freely. They were going to go out and get
some. But in the
system,
we really didn't have much.
We had Martorella. We had all those guys that they were like.
Marcy was spring training was being talked about. I mean, there was competition.
I mean,
but look at what, like in soccer yesterday, there was a 16-year-old who scored a goal for Spain.
I saw that.
16. The athletes that are performing at the highest level are getting younger and younger and younger.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Doesn't matter anymore.
But I like what he said about you're able to see big leaguers' routines, the work that they put in, which I love. I can't get enough of that stuff.
All right, Big League Wednesday continues in our next hour. Brett Boone going to check in at 8:35. Always love our conversations with Booney. Reset everything when we come back. More Padres talk after a third straight loss yesterday. Don't go away. Bennett Woods continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. We got a Big League Wednesday and a domestic version of Where in the World is Adam Jones coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's go out and find out exactly where Adam Jones is this morning. It's been a couple of weeks. AJ, good to chat with you as always.
Hey, gentlemen, I miss you guys. Sorry for last.
It's all right. That's all right. It's hot. It's hot.
Where are you?
I'm in Maryland.
Maryland.
Yeah.
Home of crab cakes.
I see some family, see some people. I had a really good dinner last night with friends and just back here and back in the States and, here for the summer.
Now, I don't know. Oh, you're there for the summer. Okay, cool. I don't know. Are the Orioles in town right now? Are they at home? Do you watch
them?
Yeah,
they were hosting the Cubs yesterday.
Okay.
Yes, they're hosting the Cubs. It's too hot for me to go out to the game. I'd rather just relax. It's too hot, man. I'm going to watch it with some friends at the house and just be at home and just relax. I'm coming out to San Diego August 9th. We have a big event for Tony Gwynn. We're honoring the 25th year of 3,000 hits. So it's going to be really, really special.
So the Baltimore Orioles have been able to take advantage of the Yankees' struggle, a three-game lead in the American League East. I'm surprised, Adam, that the Yankees, who look pretty solid for the first half of the season, have all of a sudden lost 17 of 23.
Nope.
Brian Cashman's gone down to Tampa to see what's kind of going on in person. What have you kind of seen there in following that race? What's gone wrong for the Yankees?
I mean, it's a long season. You know, Judge at the beginning of the season wasn't swinging it well. Then he's the best player in the game. You know, Soto's been maintaining. You know, Gill, the young pitcher, he has the last four or five starts. He hasn't been how he was the first 12 starts. It's a long, long season. And I just look forward to the Orioles and the Yankees playing real meaningful baseball come September. That's what it's about. You know, everybody's going to go ups and downs. The Orioles are going to have their slides. They've been able to mitigate a lot of them, but it's just part of the game. And, every team faces it.
You know, you're talking about a long season. We were really hesitant at the beginning of the year to talk about, well, it's early. Here in San Diego, I mean, AJ, and you can imagine why after the last, you know, last few years. And yes, while it is early, this team did not play in the last few years with the sense of urgency that they've, I'll give it to them. They don't do it every night, but they've done it a hell of a lot more this year, it feels, than they did last year, which has led to a much more exciting brand of baseball here in San Diego this year.
Oh, I mean, the brand of baseball is amazing. And you know what? Obviously, you know, Manny is the guy to me. And when he's hot, the ship is running. But right now, to me, the MVP of the team is the rookie, yeah. Jackson Merrill. I mean, that's to me. I don't know how you feel about that. But what he's been able to do and accomplish, play holding down center field, and it's a big responsibility, and he's been able to man it. And again, 21, who cares about the age? You're going out there and playing. I was fortunate enough to talk to him in Korea, and I said, hey, man, it's the big leagues. The lights is on, and he was ready for it. And he's taking advantage of a great opportunity. He's got great leaders over there also, but he's taking full advantage of center field, and it seems like he is – being the leader of the defense out there. And, you know, he's, to me, the MVP of the team right now and is keeping them afloat. But, again, the ship sails when Manny is hot. And you know, he's been swinging the bat really well lately. So you just got to keep him hot.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if I'm going to do co-MVPs, I'm going to give some to Jerks and Profar, too, because I mean,
yeah, I'm in Profar also. Sorry for Profar. Yeah,
yeah, he's on his list now.
He's been amazing. And, yeah. You know, I'll ask you about this. Do you know Pro a little bit?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I mean, I've got to know him over the years, and I'm glad he's going to be his first All-Star in the place that he started his career.
It's the coolest thing, and it's a great story, and we're all super happy about it. But lately, man, it's – now, I love this. He is the guy, it seems to me – other teams are like, man, I don't like him. I don't like the cut of his jib. I don't like what he's doing. I love it because it irritates them. Santos got irritated last night because Profar like looked at him. Baseball players are sensitive. We know that. Profar has really been, he's been like a little piece of sand, you know, between your toes to a lot of teams this year. It's been fun to be on that side of it, you know, the team that you root for. I bet you hate playing against those guys, though.
I mean, for me, I love it. I mean, you got to understand, he's Dutch, but they play the Latin style of the game.
Yes.
And they're going to show emotion. I mean, I've seen the Nationals get mad that he hit a walk-off and, you know, they want to throw behind him. Like, that's, you know, come on. You want to hit him? Like, come on. It's a walk-off. Let the man celebrate. And you can't take the passion away from the Latin players. Yeah. They tried to do it in the WBC. It did not happen. The Latin players got even more hype. So you ain't going to take away the passion from the Latin players. You better join the party or don't give up the hit.
As you mentioned, Jerickson going to his first All-Star game after 11 years in the league. So I was just looking it up. I oftentimes introduce you as five-time All-Star Adam Jones. And you went to the All-Star game for the first time. I think it was your third full season when you were with the Orioles. But then you didn't go again for a few more years, and then you went 4 years in a row. Jackson Merrill's going in his first season here as a rookie. What do you learn? Kind of, is there anything that first All-Star game that you're like looking for, that you learn, that you keep your head down? Do you take it all in? How does that first All-Star game work, Adam?
Well, my first All-Star game was different. I mean, I had guys who had 10 All-Star games. I had Mariano Rivera. I'm taking ground balls with Derek Jeter. You got A-Rod. You got Poppy. You know, you go back to the 09 team, you had very few guys that were first-time All-Stars. It was myself, Edwin Jackson, I think Granderson maybe was the first or second time, but you had the vets that were still the perennial All-Stars, and it was game, like just pure game. You had to be around these guys. You got to ask these guys questions. They've been there, done that. My locker was next to Ichiro, and I'm like, again, he was my teammate briefly in Seattle, but now like I'm at the All-Star game with him. President Obama came in. You had the dogs sniffing me. I mean, like, I think it was different. It was more prestigious to me, I think, at that time because you had guys with 10, 11 All-Star games. Legacy guys, I was fortunate enough to be at Mariano's last All-Star game, Jeter's last All-Star game. But now it's a new brand, and, you know, you have a lot of first-time guys, which I think is great. It's showing that the game is expanding, the youth is amazing, and they're deserving. So, like I had Craig Kimbrough on my Adam Jones podcast, And I just asked him about it because he's about to be a 10-time All-Star, and he's just so grateful for the other guys. Like, hey, man, these guys earned it. These guys earned it this year. They had a great first half. Let them enjoy that reward. And, you know, I take all five that I went to, every single one of them were very special. And, you know, it's old adage. It never gets old. Things like that never get old. You're the best player at that moment. And, you know, go there and stick out your chest a little bit and have some fun.
Talking to our pal Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning. I can't remember if I've asked you this or not. My memory's not great, but I wanted to talk to you about the Orioles. They remain a really fascinating team. You know, sucked for many, 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 many years to try to get back to what they have now currently. They still have, they have more prospects, really, Adam, than they have positions on the field. And I was watching something, I was watching something recently. And it was MLB Network, and, you know, it's all speculation around trade deadline. And it said, I just don't think they're going to move these guys to get, you know, maybe somebody that'll help. They think they have the guys that they need right now. I can see how it could be positive for the guys on that team already, but I could also see how it would be a negative if the team goes, no, no, we're good. We got what we need. What's your take on them?
Well, I mean, it's the big thing, and that's for everybody, is always pitching. One problem is for them for next year is they have three guys that have had Tommy John already, so they're out for next year. So a big thing for them is getting starting pitching. Obviously, Corbin Burns, who wouldn't want to retain him, but he's going to free agency, as he should, and you know, and see the max that he can get. That's what you work for. So the biggest thing is starting pitching, and I think that goes for every team. So I don't necessarily know what moves will be made. I'm not, obviously, I don't work for the Orioles, so I'm just speculating like everybody else. But the problem, I think, has presented itself where we knew they had a great minor league system, but now guys need to play. You have too many 4A guys now rather than a guy at least needs at bats. Like Stowers, Kerstad, Mayo, Norby, these are guys that, you know, honestly, they need to be in the major league somewhere.
And they're blocked.
With the Orioles, it's just, yeah, this is with the Orioles, they just have so much talent right now in the major leagues. They're just blocked. And again, it's a good problem to have, but it, as guys age and start turning 24 and 25 and 26, value just goes down.
Yeah,
so, again,
sense.
I don't work for them, but I'm speculating like everybody else for everybody else's team. You know, guys are going to be moved. There's going to be trade deadline moves. There's going to be hopefully some blockbuster moves with some guys. So, just know that the Orioles are in a really good situation, and it's a, for Elias and company, it's a great problem to have.
Talking to Adam Jones on a Big League Wednesday, and you've talked to us before about how tough it is to adjust to the big leagues, how hard the game is, and I totally believe that. And we still see rookies who struggle, but we're also seeing more rookies who seem to just jump in and are having success right away. You mentioned Jackson Merrill, all-star as a rookie. Paul Skeens on the pitching side. See this Reds prospect who just came up. What's his name? Reese Hines. Just two games, five extra base hits, two home runs. Is there something different nowadays? Are teams better at preparing these rookies for the reality of what they're about to face, or are these just some freaks that are having instant success in Major League Baseball?
It's both. I mean, I think with just evolution, we've understood what it takes. I don't say necessarily everything about what it takes, but you can get the routines of major league guys with social media, post their routines and different things with YouTube. There's just so much more information than it was in the 90s. It was just part of the evolution process. And, you know, these guys are training for this. You go to these gyms, the drive lines, and these other places, and still have tons of places also, and you major league guys hitting with high school guys, with the 12-year-olds. So, you know, these little kids with their parents, they're asking these guys questions. How do I get there? Like, so it's not as unfamiliar to them anymore. So, like, being around a major league guy or a professional athlete is not as unfamiliar like it used to be.
Yeah.
I never met a pro athlete. You have to go to the baseball game, sit outside maybe try to get an autograph. But now you just go to Starbucks. People are just, you know, with social media, just pin people, and it's weird. But it's super weird. But it's just, I think I said it before, the athlete is not idolized like they used to. Like, I idolized Tony Gwynn. I idolized Ken Caminiti. I like guys like Eric Owens, the dirt ball like that. you idolize guys like that. Now, it's like, you know, Soto has a bad week. He sucks. What? That's our generation, one of our generational's best players. But I think we don't idolize guys because we have so much access to the guys.
Yeah, really sure. Good points, as always. Adam, I can't wait to see you a month from now back in San Diego. That'll be a lot of fun.
Are you coming in? We doing golf? What are we
doing? We'll do something.
What's happening?
We're golfing.
Yep.
All right.
We're golfing. I got my driver fixed. I've been working on a few things. All right. It ain't going to work, but I've been working.
text Paulie. We'll get us a nice course and get it all done and lunch and have you come in and hang, too.
Yes, sir. You know I'll show up.
Yeah, we'll put everybody to work here on Ben and Woods. That's what we do best.
Adam Jones, live from Baltimore, Maryland, where it is hot, hot, hot. We'll talk to him again next Wednesday and get to see him in person next month. I think he makes a really good point. You know, it wasn't that long ago when you came up as a rookie.
Me?
In baseball, whenever. You were pretty much thrown into the deep end with no preparation whatsoever. You couldn't replicate the big league lifestyle in AAA, AA. You just had to do it.
You just had to learn it.
You just had to learn it. But nowadays, teams have become so much better at preparing their guys for the routines. And it's almost they show up and they already kind of know what they're supposed to do. Yeah, you're not facing all-star pitching every day, but you can duplicate it in batting cages now and see more of it, see more velocity, training. And it's not just baseball, by the way. Have you noticed in sports like golf, where guys are coming straight from college,
yeah,
and now all of a sudden, like winning on the PGA Tour? It used to be guys would come on the PGA Tour, it'd be 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
before he really could compete, win regularly, because you had to learn the grind, you had to learn about it. But athletes are so much better prepared at a younger age now than they ever were because of more information, advanced training techniques, better practice facilities, better technology, and it carries over into all kinds of sports.
Mental training. Mental training.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, back then, if you had said in the big league, I bet you a lot of people in the big leagues in 1986 that had some mental issues that they probably needed to work through, and nobody would listen to them. You know what I mean? Nor could they feel that they could tell somebody.
To bring it back to Merrill, like, he's got the right makeup.
Yeah.
He's obviously got the ability,
yep,
and the physical skills. Like, I think we made it a promo a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week. Ben was like, he's perfect.
Yeah.
It's like he was created in a lab.
Yeah.
He's exactly what you want.
Yep.
And it's not by accident either. You know, I'm sure some of it is just inherent in terms of, like, his personality and who he is. But he's been working on this. You know, he's got a goal. He wanted to be a big league player. And, you know, he's put the right work into it to be not only physically ready, but also mentally and emotionally ready to be a big leaguer.
I was thinking about it. He looks so comfortable. He doesn't look like a rookie.
Okay.
He looks so comfortable. Do you think that has anything to do with him knowing, he would never admit it publicly, but knowing that, like, he was thrust into that position because we had nobody else. There wasn't any competition really for him in center field. Did that make it easier on him? Did that make
it
harder on
him? Well, no, because there was at the time, though, when he got thrust into center field.
Zokar or
But there were guys behind him, right?
They were talking about trading for Durant
yep,
and other players.
Yes,
I mean,
it was Durant. It was the kid from Milwaukee. They were Sal Freely. They were going to go out and get
somebody. But in the system,
somebody.
We really didn't have much.
We had Martorella. We had all those guys that they were like.
Marcy was spring training, yep, is being talked about. I mean, there was competition.
I mean,
but look at what, like in soccer yesterday, there was a 16-year-old who scored a goal for Spain.
Saw that.
16. The athletes that are performing at the highest level are getting younger and younger and younger.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Doesn't matter
crazy
anymore.
But I like what he said about, you're able to see big leaguers' routines, the work that they put in, which I love. I can't get enough of that stuff.
All right, Big League Wednesday continues in our next hour. Brett Boone going to check in at 8:35. Always love our conversations with Booney. Reset everything when we come back. More Padres talk after a third straight loss yesterday. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.